One of the dominant themes emerging from the June Democratic legislative primaries in New York is that the far-left insurgent wing of the party is on the rise. And while there are numerous examples that justify this way of thinking, many incumbents did fend off their challengers, and establishment-backed candidates even won some open primaries, including my next guest, Stephanie Zinnerman, who is expected to cruise to victory in November in the 56th Assembly District in Brooklyn. For the last 7 years, Stephanie has been a legislative staffer, working in the New York City Council and then Director of Special Projects for Brooklyn State Senator, whose retirement also created the vacancy in the State Assembly that she will fill in January. Before getting involved in government, she ran a New York City-wide adult literacy program and owned a small business. She has run a number of political campaigns and even worked on the 2012 re-election campaign of President Barack Obama, but 2020 is the first time her name appeared on the ballot. We began our conversation by talking about how her time working behind the scenes as a legislative staffer influenced her decision to run for elected office.
I will say this. I was not planning to actually run for the state assembly. I was thinking about sometime maybe in the future running for the city council. This opportunity presented itself after the state senator decided that she was going to actually retire this year. So I thought that she was going to stay around for at least another term. And so I took a look at it, and given my experience in city government and in the not-for-profit realm, small business realm, and my commitment to community, I thought that this might be an opportunity and something that I could really help support the needs of my district with doing. So I threw my hat in the ring in mid-January.
What was that transition like, going from more behind the scenes, whether it's working in government or working behind the scenes in campaigns, to being that front person who's got to, you know, do the interacting with the public, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies, whatnot, at least in a normal non-COVID year?
The good thing is I ran the district office for city council, so a number of people in my district I already had relationships with. Although I wasn't the member before, I did have to shake a lot of hands and kiss a lot of babies. So it was good to receive the encouragement of those folks who I had served in my previous roles and get their support to run for office. You know, I hear echoes to this day of, you know, it's your turn, you've put in the work, you really should do this. So they actually were really instrumental in my making the final decision to run for office as well.
You were endorsed by a number of sitting state lawmakers, including Assemblywoman Rodnice Bichat, who runs the Brooklyn Democrats. Yeah. Do you feel like that makes you the establishment candidate? And should that label have the sort of pejorative connotation assigned to it by a lot of outsider candidates this year?
It certainly should not have that sort of connotation, but they do consider me such. I've, you know, read some of the Twitter feeds around, because I received their support. But if people look at my record, they will see that I have supported county candidates and I haven't supported county candidates, that I belong to a broad coalition of civil rights groups and good government groups through the Let New York Vote Coalition. And, you know, I believe that our city and the residents and constituents in our city have great needs. And we should work with a broad coalition of people to make sure that those needs are met. And so to the extent that people really want to do work and not just receive attention, a fanfare, I'm willing to work with them.
So I was reading about the race, and it seemed pretty clear that race was a topic for your primary, with your white opponent questioned in at least one town hall about how he could represent a majority black district. And so I'm curious, from your perspective, you know, did you feel like being black gave you a leg up when it came to understanding the needs of the district that a person who was white just simply wouldn't have?
No, I heard that also, but I think the real difference between my opponent and I is the time spent in the district. I think it's not because I'm black, it's because I've been around long enough to understand them. He has done a, you know, great job of coming in and tapping into one group of our constituency. And, you know, we had a conversation just recently about really bringing those people into the fold and getting them connected to the resources and the opportunities in our district so that they don't feel left out of the conversation. But that's what being an active Democrat is. You know, you can't always wait for someone to offer you some assistance. You have to reach out sometimes and ask for it. So I certainly know that people ask that question about race because, you know, let's be truthful. Our district and both Bed-Stuy and Crown Heights has been on the top five list for gentrification for the last 10 years. So it's been a hot topic of conversation for some time. And because a number of legacy families and people, everyday people in the district, were not aware of my opponent or his work, they definitely felt like it was an interloper situation and they weren't going to have, that he was not going to have their best interest in at heart, not because he was white, but because they didn't know him. And I think that you could talk to some of our white families who have roots in the district. You know, the question I would get was, well, who is he? And why have I never seen him before?
We're speaking with Stephanie Zinnerman, who won the Democratic primary for the 56th Assembly District in Brooklyn and will be the representative for the district in January. And you talk about your roots in the district. I noticed a tweet from primary day where you shared, you know, three generations, three voices, all voting. What did it mean for your family to see you win this seat? And what does it mean to see you, you know, take office with such strong roots to the district?
Oh, my goodness. My mom is just beyond ecstatic. My daughter has a lot of pride in this as well. You know, to have the opportunity to talk to her friends who are all, you know, millennials and in their 30s and, you know, remember me as the PTA mom. But it's like, oh, my God, your mom did it. So they feel great pride. And I got a call from my uncle who grew up on Quincy Street with my mom. And said, did you win? And I said, looks like I won, Unc. He said, good. Now go take care of your people. And that kind of sums it up for my family. They just wanted me to have the opportunity to continue to do good work in the community.
Well, when you come to Albany, what's that going to mean when it comes to taking care of your people? What are the things you're going to prioritize for the district?
Well, certainly we have to prioritize healthcare, housing, education, and the economic opportunity. I mean, our healthcare system has been devastated citywide, but certainly in our district, we've lost a number of people, and both of our hospitals are strained. One of the causes that I'm really passionate about is maternal mortality rates across the city again, but heavily in our district. Just last month, we lost another mother who died in right after childbirth. And but we have to bring attention to that and really admit that we just have not done a good job of dealing with the health care of Black and brown people. And that is something that we have some proposals to fix, and I look forward to working with my colleagues on that. But when you brought up race before, and I'll have to bring it up in this instance, if you just look at how race plays across those four areas of home ownership and healthcare, education, and economic opportunity, you understand that that's a big issue that we'll have to tackle. But my job is to secure those resources. And then focus people's attention on, you know, curing the ills that have essentially disenfranchised and frankly speaking, killed members of my district.
How has the coronavirus experience been for you personally?
Well, let me just sum it up this way. There's going to be a time in the near future that we would have to erect a wall in our district and etch the names of the lives lost and have an annual memorial service because we're just not able to bury the number of people who passed away, who are friends and colleagues and family members. And to the extent that this curve is not flattening as much as we want, we still have a lot of work to do to ensure that we don't lose many more lives before this is all over.
When you take office in January, one of the first things you're going to have to really vote on is who the speaker is going to be. Do you think you're going to support Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie for another 2 years as a leader of the party in the Assembly?
At this point, there's nothing that would keep me I don't have any information that would say that he would not continue to be a good speaker, standing up for his members and the people who sent us to represent them. And so at this point, I don't know who else is running against him. I haven't looked at that at all. I was just focusing on getting to this place. but he has proven to be someone that is not going to kowtow to the governor. So, and that's what you need in a legislator and a leader.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, kowtowing to the governor, because the way the budget process works in Albany, the governor has, you know, the most power. And there's been a sort of a growing push amongst state lawmakers on the left, and some of the new lawmakers are going to become part of the freshman class to reassert some of the power the legislature could have in this with a constitutional amendment. Do you think that's the right way to go? Should the legislature amend the Constitution to give itself a stronger voice in this process, which really accounts for a large part of what gets done in Albany?
Absolutely. The legislature should have more control in the budget, and that there is a bill that is out, and we need to ensure that between now and November that we are able to secure the seats that we needed to have the votes that we need to make that happen.
Between now and January, what are you going to do to prepare for office?
Oh, exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm doing a lot of reading. I am talking to constituents. We looked at the map and saw where we didn't do too well, and we have begun our outreach to those areas. So I continue to do, you know, PPE and giveaways in the district. Twice a week, I do food distributions, and we are holding virtual meetings, talking to people about topics related to election reform and safe streets in our district, and gun violence prevention. And I'm going to just continue to connect with constituents and work with them to improve circumstances in our district, but also do a lot of reading and making new friends of those who've just are coming in with me, and of course those who are serving in the Assembly and Senate at this time.
I noticed on Twitter you appeared to kind of suggest that UN Ambassador Susan Rice would be a good pick for VP on the Democratic ticket. Why do you think she would be the right running mate for Joe Biden?
Well, Joe is someone who needs to be comfortable with whoever's going to be his running mate. And while I would love to have a Stacey or, and let's be just honest, Elizabeth Warren was my pick for president, but since I didn't get my way, I'm Joe, I think that she's smart. I think she's tough. And I think that he knows her. And we need a team to work together day one after the election. And I don't think between November, for this particular election cycle, the time between November and January is going to be enough time for him to get to know another pick.
Are there people that you are looking forward to working with in Albany that you're comfortable with already?
So I am very much into agriculture and urban ag in particular, and what that can mean for not only a healthy resource, for food resource in my community, but also as an economic engine for my community. So the endorsement that I received from Eleanor's Legacy, I was able to meet Senator Metzger, who's done some phenomenal work on the Ag Committee, and Harvey Epstein serves in the Assembly on that committee. So I'm really looking forward to that work as well. I want to make friends with folks on the Aging Committee, because that means a lot to me as well. And I don't know who will be the chair coming forward with some of the other committees, but there are a list of committees that I have my eyes on that I want to talk to people about. But ag is definitely one of those things that I've already done some outreach, and I'm looking forward to working with the two of them.
Well, we've been speaking with Stephanie Zinnerman. She won the Democratic primary for the 56th Assembly District in Brooklyn and will take office in January. Stephanie, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and have a great day.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.